So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Letter 23, Part 2. We ended up breaking this letter into two parts because it's amazing. It's so in-depth. And I think for everyone who's heard John Cleese's audio, the abridged version, which is everywhere, you haven't heard this letter. And for me, I don't understand why they didn't include this letter first and foremost, because it's amazing. So first part, Galen, we covered the idea of this historical Jesus, about you making Jesus humanitarian, a Marxist, a revolutionary, dethroning him, which is the term you use, from what he actually is. And that gave me chills when you said that, because it is, that is, when the English language, or when language describes something perfectly, you know the truth. And It's amazing for me when I read scripture, there's certain times I'll read something, I'll just have to sit down and I'll be like, wow, that just convict me.
There's something compelling about truth. It's just, it's tied so deep to the fabric of existence it just resonates with you as deeply as anything possibly could.
And it just makes me think, because, you know, we're in a political season at the moment, and we've got one party saying that we're all about joy, which joy is from the Lord. And they are not being truthful and honest about that, because they are not about joy.
And it's not at all
counterfeit. Yeah. Of what is demonic. Going on.
Joy through strength, which is like literally it's a demonic trope.
Absolutely. So letter 23 continues. The goal being now that Screwtape and his minions and Wormwood have to destroy the devotional life of the patient. Because remember, for evil to win in your world, first they have to break you down. Like, death is not the demonic winning. Death is you returning to the Lord if you're a good person, or if you're a redeemed person. Use those interchangeably, but of course you can be good, not know God. I don't know if you go to heaven at that point in time. And I've often said, you know, Super Bowl comes to town, you complain about not going, you don't even like football. Why would you go? So in the same way, if you have no faith in Jesus, why would you expect to go to heaven afterwards? And so it's to destroy the devotional life. So they will break down your friend group. They will break down your engagement with the Lord. They will break down your relationship. They'll turn you to things of the earth, things of that are evil, things that separate you more from God. And that's part of their goal within this is to end up doing that.
Now, one of the ways that they do that is we talked about last episode how you suppress certain aspects of Jesus and what he said, and over exaggerate others, and create these different versions of Jesus. And a lot of times what that tends to do is take things Jesus did and turn something that he said or did, one isolated thing, into the chief end. And I see this a lot, like one of the biggest ones is, you know, mercy ministry. Well, Jesus fed the poor, you know, John chapter 6 and other places. So we need to feed the poor. It's, you know, love, mercy, and justice is what we're called to do. Well, that's all true. But then that almost becomes the main drive of the church in a lot of cases. But what happens is then that good thing that you're supposed to be doing ends up becoming the God. And he talks about this in the episode.
Very well said. Yep.
But what I want to point out is actually something that Screwtape is told, or something that, Screwtape says at the beginning of the letters, which is several of his new friends are much alive to the social implications of their religion. That's things like feeding the poor. That's things like caring for the widow, caring for, you know, the orphans. Those are good things that we're supposed to be doing. He says that in itself is a bad thing, but good can be made out of it. In other words, it's a bad thing to the demonic. So here's my point. The demonic even admits, C.S. Lewis says, the social implications of our faith make the demonic tremble, but they end up using that to distort it and remove it from Jesus. So I guess I'll phrase it as a question. How do we still have... Actually, before I even say the question, I'll share a little bit of my story. I came from the side that became overly heady. I became pharisaical because I didn't want to do all of the things that Christians were supposed to do, because those were always the liberal churches. Those were always the social gospel groups, always just turning anything about Jesus or church or the gospel into you have to feed the poor. And that became the God. And what it did, I think there's a big segment of the church that ended up shying away from doing things, engaging in the world too much,
right,
because they were trying to react away from that. And I understand the concern. But how do we as Christians still engage in society, engage in the world? Because quite frankly, our faith is supposed to, like he says in this chapter, overflow into our life in society and even overflow into our politics. How do we not let Satan be the king of everything and still allow our faith to pour over into social implications?
Great point. I think it's having that relationship with Jesus Christ and in all that you do in your work, in your interactions, your visits to the grocery store, whatever it is, lead through your faith. And so when you have the ability to take advantage of someone through a business dealing, don't. Why? Because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that keeps you honest. Thou shalt not steal, right? So I think if you pour that into it, one, what it does to the world, and he points it out in here, if we end up with the establishment of a just society, that would be a disaster for us as
right.
a demonic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so the more of us that walk in faith, like here's the trouble, and I know for our listeners, some of you are going to sit down when I say this. If you're a Sunday Christian who doesn't talk about Jesus for the rest of the week, are you really a Christian? Because you only talk about it for one small part of your week, and for the rest of that time, it doesn't exist within you. So do you have a relationship with God, or do you have a membership in a church? Right. And if you have that relationship, everything you do, when you ask someone, hey, how you doing? Or how's your day going? You don't just mean that as a platitude. You actually are really concerned. Like, you look like you're not having a good day. I don't know you, but I'm concerned because I'd love you to be having a great day. And I think there are things that pour out of people when they're in that. I love the line he uses in here that, and this is that same thing, no one is brought to Jesus by his biography. In other words, you can read the Bible cover to cover and go, that doesn't bring you to Jesus Christ. But the resurrection that leads to redemption in you, if you honestly, truly believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, rose 3 days later, is the Son of God, ascended into heaven, you now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're tenets of Christianity. You, if you don't have them, you're not a Christian. You have a different Jesus that you're worshiping.
Right.
Or celebrating, whatever. And I love the other line in here that he says, and I want to throw this to you, Galen, which is, he says, the Gospels weren't written to make Christians, but to basically strengthen Christians, to edify Christians.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I looked it up earlier. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, says he wrote it, I pulled it up, Luke chapter 1, it seemed good to me also, he's talking about, I'm writing all these things down, it seemed good to me also, having followed all the things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, the guy that he wrote the book of Luke 2, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. This is right in the beginning of Luke, he actually does, he's writing all of the things that have been documented about Jesus. Luke is a doctor, he's a technical-minded guy, you know. So let me write it all down so that you can have confidence in the things that you believe. He absolutely did. The Gospels were written to edify believers. It's to show you who your true Jesus is. I do kind of disagree because the Gospel of John has a very evangelistic emphasis, constantly trying to call people to believe and repent and believe. But I think it's really true. The Gospels are supposed to show you the Jesus that you believe in. Because if you don't believe in Jesus and you go to the Gospels, all you're left with is that shell of a biography of the things that he did.
Right.
And that's how you end up with all these other ideologies that allegedly have Jesus endorsing them.
clarity moment here. This really just hit me. And you've mentioned this before. This is not scripture. This is, I believe, and this is from Ian, I believe this is divinely inspired works that C.S. Lewis has here. But I don't agree with 100% of it. So just if anyone's listening and saying, oh, these guys are taking C.S. Lewis as if it's scripture. No, we're not. And we don't agree with 100% of it. And as you just heard Galen say a minute ago, he doesn't actually agree with that idea that the Gospels are only to edify Christians. But I would also say this is, when I look at, and I talk about this around our table in our men's group and with my friends as well, I didn't read the Bible and went, boom, I'm a Christian. I really believe that guy. And I've had those moments of contemplation of, when did I decide to give my life to Jesus Christ? And I look back, and it was when I was young, and there was something very, I'll use the word spiritual about it. There's nothing empirical about it. And to the point where I said to myself, I couldn't deny that I don't believe this at all. Gun to my head, sorry, just can't do it. It's just... To me, it's absolute truth. But that's that relationship piece. And I feel so blessed to have that. And I've heard amazing people talk that, you know, God's relationship is not equitable. I just feel I've just had an abundance of the Spirit within me. And I feel so blessed, almost bringing me to tears at times thinking about that. And I'd love every... And one of my passions in doing this dissection of the Screwtellers is, if we can bring people to Jesus Christ, strengthen their walk with Jesus Christ, that means the world to me. You know, that's my payoff in this ultimately. So, you know, we talked about how people want to use Christianity as a means to their own advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you talk a little bit more towards that?
Well, you know, like, and again, it's this historical Jesus concept. The words and teachings and actions and miracles of Jesus can become this blank slate to construct a case and build a case for anything that you happen to be going for. And I think this is exactly the point of the demonic. You know, he says, we do not want men to allow their Christianity to overflow in their political life. For the establishment of anything like a really just society would be a major disaster. On the other hand, so, you know, doesn't want us to genuinely live out true Christianity. But on the other hand, we do want very much to make men treat Christianity as a means, preferably, of course, as a means to their own advancement. But failing that as a means to anything. So in other words, whether it's social justice, whether it's political gain, whether it's your own Phariseeism that you're trying to get the teachings of Jesus, you know, building a case for why people ought to do this or ought to do that, we're going to have a tendency to want to use Christianity, to use gospel truth to a particular end. And the demonic's point is, it doesn't even matter what that end is. As long as it becomes a mean to another end, Christ is dethroned, people have guaranteed to have missed the main point. Because what's supposed to happen instead, your relationship with Christ, he gives you a new heart, he gives you a new nature, he changes your desires, new things come out of you, and that overflows and changes the world in which you live. You now become a salt and a light to the world. And the demonic wants to, rather than have the actions of Jesus be the fruit of your walk with him, they want it to become the root. It's the reason you're doing it. And it's always turning it upside down on its head, or like we've said in the past, it's the demonic kind of crossing the wires. The fruit is not a bad thing, but when the fruit becomes the end goal, you've missed the whole purpose of Christianity, which is to know Jesus, to walk with him, to be changed by him. And I like the way he says it there, allowing men to have their Christianity overflow into their politics, into their love for man, into their involvement with their communities, into their families. Let true Christianity, what Jesus truly said and did, who he truly is, overflow out of you from a changed heart and a changed spirit into the world. No, 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 the demonic says, let's take Jesus's teachings and use them as a means to achieve and pursue some other God and good And again, fill in the blank, whatever it is, and we all right. do it.
So I actually look at this as the relationship goes beyond the grave. So once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, what you actually get out of that goes beyond the grave. I think what people love about the idea of tying Jesus to something within the world, and as C.S. Lewis uses this line, something attainable within this world. So let's say you say, I'm going to be a social warrior for blah, blah rights, and I'm going to back it with Jesus Christ, and it happens. Now you've said, I've made Jesus empirical, because I said Jesus is going to back me in this social justice movement. It happened. Jesus is real. So you have no faith. You've dethroned him from who he really is, and you've used him as almost a champion of something here on earth, not about salvation. You've used him to achieve things here, which Jesus will be with you to achieve things, but he's not to be used to achieve things.
Right.
You know, and right. I think that's where people flip this upside down. So this letter 23 is so important. And I mean, I think out of all of them, this is my favorite so far.
Yeah. No,
it's so deep. It's crazy how deep this goes. Because the way he talks about our relationships has to make you as a listener sit down and think, what is my relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Sunday between 9 and 10? Is it maybe Sunday and maybe Tuesday night at a men's group? Do you like leave it on the shelf when you go to a football game? Does it affect you positively or negatively when you're around people who maybe they're not Christians and they're not talking like Christians and acting like Christians and behaving like Christians? Do you leave it to the one side? So I think it's something to question yourself about. It's like, what, where does it truly impact my heart? Because it talks within scripture about Jesus will change your heart. And if your heart hasn't been changed, do you have that relationship?
And the thing is, if it is changed, things always overflow from the abundance of the heart. And when the heart changes, you end up you do have a positive impact on society. You have a heart that desires to care for the poor. But because you know Jesus and you value all that Jesus has valued and he has truly changed your heart, he's going to change the way you love your neighbor. He's going to change the way that you have love and mercy towards others. But he's also probably going to change the way that you might have justice and wrath on society as well. Because we need a generation of people that are rising up, not just to go out into the world as a bunch of lambs. We also need some lions out there as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this applies to a lot of things. I'll bring up a common issue, you know, not that we're trying to talk too much about current events or political buzzwords, but I think of the situation at the border. It's one of the biggest issues in the election right now, you know, and people pouring through the southern border. And the case that I get, and I unfortunately get this from a lot of Christians who I think are deceived to try to make mercy the God. And well, Jesus was merciful. We need to be merciful. Well, that's true. But Jesus was also just. So we have all these people coming in. Do we want to care for these people? Well, absolutely we do. And now we're too afraid to say, you know, oh, well, you can't send them back because that's mean. We need to be loving and accepting. Well, we've suppressed certain aspects of society. Well, no, you need to work hard and go through the process and come in the right way. Well, we need to track things and put systems in place. You know, the case I get from a lot of Christians anyway is you have love your neighbor. And we've over-exaggerated one aspect, turned another one down. But I guess my point is when you do have a walk with Jesus, you have just as much a heart for justice as you do love and mercy. And then you can walk in society as a meaningful member of society, rationalizing your way through that argument, rationalizing your way through how to navigate that particular, just using that one thing as an example.
And they've used Jesus in that regard for social justice. It's social justice at the border for these people that they put into a specific group. And again, you've dethroned Jesus Christ from where he's been.
Right.
So,
one other thing I wanted to hit here, though. He talks about this historical, this, and this really is, we had to break it into two parts, and we didn't even cover it all. I have a bunch of notes that we didn't even get to. Let's talk about a historical Jesus, and he talks about this case, the social and political issues. Let's just talk about the things that he did, and you can create a number of different versions of Jesus. A point that he makes at the very end is the enemy will not be used for convenience. You've kind of said that. Jesus will not be a means to an end. And a lot of times we cannot think pragmatically. We can't say, and the little example he uses at the end, this version of Christianity is true because it works. This version of Christianity is true because it makes me feel good. This version of Christianity is true. The demonic wants to give you all kinds of options for different types of Jesuses and different versions of Christianity to get you to just believe anything. Believe this, not because it's true, but for some or any other reason, that's the game. But the point of Christianity that Screwtape makes, he kind of drives this point home. You see the little rift, he says, believe this, not because it's true, but for some other reason, that's the game. He's trying to always pull us away from believing the thing that's true to putting structures and belief systems in place for any other reason, just to pull you away from something that is actually true about Jesus.
Gail, and that's a brilliant way to wrap this second part of Letter 23. So until next time, thanks for listening again. Question your place with your relationship with God, and we will see you next time on the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time.